This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto. Good to see you all. I want to thank you all for listening and sharing our episode with your friends and your network. You know, we could not have been here for 9 years without you, our biggest fans, and to thank you so, so much. We love, love, love when you share and you hang out, watch us on YouTube and all this stuff. And wow, my buddy Greg, Jesus, how many years ago did I meet you? I think it was around 9 years ago. Hey, Greg Buckley.
It was Detroit 2016. We had dinner at Fishbones.
Oh. Boy, let me just say this right now. What a steel trap mind.
Well, there are certain moments in time that you just never forget. And me meeting you was just one of those moments.
I said, this could be a long and fruitful relationship. This guy just loves to talk about great stuff in the industry.
It's no secret. We're facing a technician shortage. But rest assured, NAPA Auto Care is addressing that one tech at a time with your help. The free 2-year apprentice program offers a variety of training to produce a technician through 9 stages of curriculum, earning 4 ASE certifications throughout the program. To learn more, members can visit member.napaautocare.com or contact your servicing Napa Auto Parts store's sales rep.
Hey, I see a record player behind you there.
Yeah.
If I asked you classic rock, if you had a choice to just go pull one album or one CD, DVD, whatever you have, and you wanted to put it on that record player, what group would that be?
Rolling Stones.
Okay, cool. Love that. And I would probably agree with you on that, but Electric Light Orchestra was a group that I love. My favorite song from them is Mr. Blue Sky. Anyway, just, I saw the record player, so I had to say that.
Some Girls.
Great, great album. Love the band. Love to watch them when they're ever on TV. We'll YouTube them occasionally.
Well, you got to listen to El Dorado by ELO. El Dorado is a great one. Great, great jam.
Well, anyway, Greg Buckley is here because we were having a chat about scorecards. And in fact, so incredibly interesting when Greg said, you know, where's the football card, the baseball card on the technicians of our industry? And in a concept we want to talk about with the industry is, are we keeping score?
Right. Are we keeping score? We have our coffee talks and it kind of like was something that I've been thinking about for a while because, you know, recently, well, like everybody else, you know, we're hiring individuals, we're bringing them in, we're onboarding them. And what do we have to prove? And this is no disrespect. This is both owners and technicians. What does a technician have that makes them think they want to work with the owner? And what does the owner have that wants to invest and trust in a technician? And we have our word. I can tell you that I do 5 million a year, and you can tell me, the technician can tell me that he writes 100 out, they can do 100 hours a week, but where is it? And so conceptually, you go back to how teams are built professionally, whether you got your ball team or your football team, your baseball team, hockey, whatever it is. I'm so ingrained with analytics. Why aren't these analytics with us in our profession?
Completely agree with you. And will a technician be able to sit in front of you looking for an opportunity and have all of this data?
If you're an owner with a shop management system, all the data is present. And, you know, I would look at it as technically, it's not mine to keep, it's their performance. So the technician owns let's put it this way. Conceptually, the technician owns the rights to their performance metrics. At any one time, a technician should be able to walk up to, say, me and say, hey, Greg, this isn't working out for me. I'd like, or I got a new position, or I'm moving away, and, you know, I need my records. Well, the records isn't just how many hours you've been on the job or how long you're tenured. It's, well, what can I do? What have I done? You know, if you're a high-volume shop and you can offer 100 hours, okay, great. Or if you're not and they help build up your business, fine. All these performance metrics are there front and center. Time on the clock, time on the job, time off, salary, pay, performance, how many cars, what type of jobs. You know, all of these things are there. So if I had a baseball card and I went to a new owner and said, here you go. Now, let's talk contract. So the contract is 2 years, 5 years. Again, conceptually, if I took on a person, a technician, and I had a guaranteed contract, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. I'm now committed to investing. They're committed to staying. We have our numbers. We grow. I build a team of A players, and I have the ability to build a bench.
Wow. Just coming off the Super Bowl, I can see where this whole concept of let's give people contracts to come in and work for us if their statistics, the things that we know about them. And in football, it's not hard to hide behind what your performance is.
I think, you know, just going through all of the Facebook groups and chatter and, you know, everybody wants to have that $100,000, that triple digit salary, right? And no one is denying a person's ability or their right to achieve that. What it comes down to is, one, that benchmark of six figures should not be universal. I don't know how it can be, because in areas that they just can't afford a $100,000 technician, or there's not an opportunity, there has to be a scale. However, we can all try to do that to get to the triple digit number if we work together as owner and technician.
I love where you're going with this. And let me just throw the words incentive in there. You talk about contract, and maybe we need to have more incentives laid out for our technicians so that they can look to achieve a much higher salary than what they believe their current rate of pay is. I got to stop for a minute. I've been talking so much about building a resume, and I always called it a training resume, that an owner needs to keep on his people for all the things that they're doing, that they're achieving, be it a real comeback rate, all the training they're going to, their ASEs, everything, as they work together to build an incredible career path and greater earnings. So should a technician, in my mind, Greg, have this, be journaling and have that on the side saying, well, I got these many hours today. Start to put down on their own resume, their own, if you will, scorecard, all of these things that would be so important for a new owner. And the concept, my God, the concept of, here, come in and sign for 2 years. Here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
But guess what? This agreement is based on everything that you've been telling me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, we're asking each other, each party is asking one another to, all right, let's get our act together. Let's do things. And, you know, technicians can get disgruntled. Owners can get disgruntled. When that happens, nothing works out. Owners need to be coached and educated as well. They have to want to build a business. They want to excel at what they do. The only way that I can see moving into the future is that we have these contracts. I actually think that conceptually, having everybody under contract would work out really well. It's a commitment. It's like anything else. I'm going to commit to 2 years for you. Here's what I'm going to lay out. At any one time that I don't supply these opportunities for you, whether it's training, tools, whatever it could be, then I fail and you're released. You can ask for a release. However, if you don't meet your criteria, your metrics of, we want to base it on 50 hours a week, 100 hours a week, 25 gross profit, whatever that is. If you can't meet that, then I have the right to release you with no further contractual agreement, or I can trade you. Who knows?
If you're listening to this and you think Greg is totally off the wall, oh my God, I have to have lawyers and all this stuff.
It wouldn't be the first time, trust me.
I know that. But part of what we do here, Greg, and we've done for years, is to stretch our think. And it doesn't mean that, oh, I got to go out and do it. No, mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe there's an element of this discussion that we're having that helps you build a better business.
That's what we're here for. I really believe that at some point, you're either going to have that in our face, or you're going to have a union come in to attempt to do the same thing. I believe that we have to have these more of a concrete situation than everything being arbitrary. I want to trust you that you're telling me that you can do all these things, and you want to trust me that I can provide you all of those things. But again, it's just our word. And granted, most of us will honor our word. The problem is when things don't start to work out or things go sideways, what do you do then?
The thing I love about this conceptually, again, is if I'm sitting down with an individual and I'm looking at the training that
they have been, I'm hiring a technician and the training that they've been through in the last 2 years. And I see something completely missing from that, that I've just set all my people on and say, listen, part of our agreement going forward is that you're going to attend these classes. You're going to put in 80 hours. You're going to get this additional ASE. What's wrong with that? Especially if you are holding your own people to those accountability. You're building the scorecard for them.
Right. That's the name of the game. Here's an example of where players, I'm going to go back to baseball. A player in Philadelphia, our closer, Craig Kimbrel, last year, right? Craig Kimbrel, he sucked. I mean, from a Phillies fan, he stunk. He lost the World Series for us. I truly believe that because in his relief role as the closer, he failed twice to Arizona in two or three critical games. Playing out blew the save. The game went away. So naturally, he won't survive in Philadelphia. So who picks him up? The Baltimore Orioles, right? This guy is not good in the playoffs. Great during the season. Baltimore picks him up, pays him more than the Phillies, $13.5 million for a season. Why did Baltimore take on a closer that's known to fail in the playoffs? Because their analytics showed that Orioles ballpark is designed to allow Kimbrel to have 13 less home runs to right field. So based on statistics like that, they knew Kimbrel could come in and possibly win more games than he could have in Philadelphia. And they're predicting a better playoff series. Orioles are going to be pretty good this year. They were last year. They had the best record in baseball. But with his relief efforts, they're confident that he's going to be the better player in the playoffs. That's what analytics can do. Now, if they're willing to go and put $13.5 million into an arm where this guy's from Atlanta, Chicago, and Los Angeles and Philly, four teams where he blew all these saves, they're going to pick him up paying more because because the ballpark is better suited for him. So if an owner takes a technician and says, you know what, I've got this slot over here, I got this line of cars, I can go after a guy like, you know, I can go after a technician that has these stats, that does this. You know, I mean, this is what we have in our shop management systems already, these statistics. How do we extract the best value for both parties?
You're talking Moneyball.
Moneyball. That's it, baby. Moneyball.
Yeah. Matt Fonzel and I did an episode on Moneyball, and I had never seen the movie. Mm-hmm. And he said, Carm, go see the movie. And I did. And I was really blown away by it. And you're talking Moneyball. You're talking the stadium, the right field fence. Oh, my God. What a brilliant piece of analytics. So if we looked at our comeback rates, be it alleged defective parts, whatever that could be, but we find genuine problems inside, how hard is it for anyone to want to fix that? It's not hard.
It's not difficult. But again, you don't want to go in blind.
Yeah. But Greg, you're taking analytics.
If you're going to invest
and you're doing something about it, what kind of check engine lights, what kind of drivability issues are we getting that we need to look at improving our ability?
Right. You're taking the analytics that we all have in our databases. Yes.
As an independent repair shop owner, do you find yourself struggling with any of the following? Uncertainty about the future of your business and keeping up with the competition. Are you spending too much time managing day-to-day chaos or struggling with new employees? Do you have time keeping up with industry trends? Do you find your marketing is effective? How do your finances look? Are you reactive rather than proactive? Do you know where you should be, where you can grow, and where you should cut back? If any of those situations describe where you are today, you are finally in the right place. Repair Shop of Tomorrow is Napa Auto Care's newest endorsed partner. They are helping shops nationwide run more profitable automotive repair shops by utilizing proven best practice marketing and coaching to leverage Napa programs to drive quality car count, sales, and profits. RSOT will look at productivity, efficiencies, effective labor rate, average hours per car, labor profit percent, manage and measure labor, and how you can create net profit. Mike Kraft from Chelsea Tire and Service totally revamped his business. He was ready to get out, but decided to give RSOT a try. Now he has two shops with a totally revamped business. Likewise, Tom Kilmer from Grand Rapids Motor Car, RSOT helped dial in his business and focused on key points that changed his business and his life. which is all in his bottom line. Repair Shop of Tomorrow offers a tier-based program to not only generate more business today, but to transform your shop into a top-level shop of tomorrow. RSOT can teach you how to make your shop profitable, and they can teach you how to recruit and make more labor dollars for your shop. Give Repair Shop of Tomorrow a call, 440-545-1230, for a free 20-minute, no-obligation consultation.
You think about training, ASE certifications. There's so many that we have stuff that we don't even have to go to our SMS to find. But if you were going to use your shop management system to find some stats for the baseball card, what would you be looking at?
I think as software becomes more refined and these systems become better, we actually have a deeper understanding of what we do, both business and, you know, technician-wise.
Do our people know these numbers, Greg?
Oh, of course, hours turned, gross profit per job, gross profit per hour. What did he do? Productive. You know, it's all based on productivity, you know, and throughput, like anything else. I would say many of us really don't pay attention that deep. But if we're going to make significant investments and we are under contract to do so, I would feel that we would have to sharpen our skill sets a lot more, or we would be more dedicated to looking at our numbers as owners or managers, whatever.
You know, it's amazing when you see, I love what you said, his arm. They paid 13.5 for an arm.
For an arm. But an arm in a strategic situation. That's how like narrow this is.
I'm paying a technician X for his brain, his capabilities, both arms, everything that he brings to the table. But we're going to measure him all along these ways because I just can't pay if I don't earn. I can't pay if we're not productive. I can't pay if he doesn't go to training. He or she go. And so it almost seems to me in this concept that I think we're pushing the industry to rethink what they're doing to help career pathing their people.
True. I mean, suppose we set up we have the minor leagues. We have the D League basketball teams, the AHL hockey leagues, the NFL and flag football and USFL, they're all training grounds, college football training grounds. So when they do get to the big leagues, they're compensated and they have the chance to make it.
I've written this incredible white paper. We've made a lot of noise about it, the rise of the mechanical and technology specialist. It's a declaration of a big language change in the industry. And I'm getting ready to do a podcast on it and a whole bunch of shows. My downloads page, remarkableresults.biz/downloads. Anybody can get a copy of this. The reception in the industry has been phenomenal. And part of the discussion is what's a tech, what's an A, what's a B, what's a C. Mechanic has such an ugly, you know, moniker to it based on what Hollywood says mechanics are. And it never looks good. In this declaration, in this paper, Greg, I said, let's get rid of A, B, and C for all these reasons, because it means something different to everybody. And just let's say that if I have a technology specialist or a senior technology specialist, the person who just works with scope, they're mind workers, not hand workers. But we also know that I cannot maybe go out and hire the top person that I could find. So instead of an A, B, or C, why don't we find levels? Let's define in our own business, you know, the Baltimore Orioles, what's a level 3, 2, and 1 pitcher? What do we deem that pitcher is in certain levels? And then we work with all of the things we just talked about to get that person up to, if you will, technology specialist. You don't tell the customer that you're giving it to a level 3 person. It doesn't matter to them. But telling the customer that a technology specialist is going to work on their drivability problem is pretty good feeling on the other end.
Right. There you go. Yeah.
That's right.
It is. Well, it's like this. Every starting pitcher has at one time been a reliever. So think about that. So you have your minors, and then you bring them up for situational things that are going on in the shop, you know, situationally. So that's what you, okay. So you have, I really go back to baseball because I love the game because it's a thinking game more than anything else. But you know, where do you put your leadoff hitter versus your number 4, and who do you put in the hole? Who's taking 8th to get to designated hitter?
Okay, stop. I'm not a baseball guy. What's in the hole mean?
Well, number 4 is a hole, you know, so you got 1, 2, and 3. 4th is usually like, let's say for Philly, it'd be like a Bryce Harper or someone who could power runs through. All right, you got number 4 in the hole. You got your 8th hitter is usually your weakest hitter, but with designated hitters now prevalent, they can be your 8th. And you want your eighth hitter to kind of get you around to the first hitter. I mean, this is all like situational, so, you know.
Okay, let me stop you for a minute. So I'm the pitcher. Wait, hang on, I'm the pitcher. The team sets up their roster, whatever you would call their hit. Is he schooled enough to know the strengths of every one of these different hitters that are coming at him, or is there kind of codes coming in from the sideline?
Oh, there's a lot of homework done. Pitchers,
they do it pre-game.
Pre, yeah. And you'll also see him pull out a little card, little cheat card, and they'll know the strengths and weaknesses. And the catcher, of course, he's the general, and he'll sit back there and he'll command where he wants his pitches to go based on what the hitter is looking for. And if you look at the game, every once in a while, you'll see every team player pull out a little card knowing the strengths and weaknesses of that hitter. So they'll say, does he hit the left more often? Does he hit right? You know, where can the pitcher put him at? Can he get the batter to a ground ball? And managers will make a change depending on that type of hitter. So, you know, lefty, righty, righty, lefty, all that stuff. So it's a game that I like because you have to think to get to the win. And I think as owners, we can take that conceptually and try and position our team members to where they not only succeed, but we succeed as owners. And, you know, the bench players can grow to be that ace.
I love your concept because as an owner, and I look at my team, here's my team from service advisor, client advocates to everyone in the entire company. And I know their strengths and their weaknesses. And I just haven't sat down just when in a casual conversation says, how's the job going? What kind of tools do we need? What kind of jobs have you struggled with? What do you, we've just booked 2 hours for a diagnostic time and it took them three and we failed to sell it. But we had a fix it great customer. There are so many statistics there that allow us to sit down with that individual and look for an improvement.
Oh, absolutely. My Wilmington store, we have three pretty much ace technicians. And so I really don't have to worry too much about grooming. And we're looking to bring in an intern in Millsboro. I have three technicians, two of them that I'm grooming, one of them that I'm trying to get to be a tech and going through the training and bringing my experiences, putting him on the path to, you know, earning more, doing more, being better. I got a farm team, basically I got a farm team down in Millsboro. They're doing great, no problem. But we don't take in the work that we do up here in Wilmington because we're not at that level. And I tell them this. I said, we got to get there, but we're not there yet. In Wilmington, anything. Millsboro, we limit ourselves because we still technically are a farm team. And I say that respectfully, you know.
Yeah, I get that. I just love the deep think as it looks at the talent capabilities of our people. And Greg, I got to tell you, I don't know that much about baseball. I just don't. And you just helped me understand more about baseball that I've known in my whole life in just 5 minutes.
It is a thinking man's game. They've called it that. And, you know, strategically, you set up, you know, your field, your defense, your offense, and just look at it. Look at it from an analytical standpoint on how it goes, how the game can shift. Other sports are just as equal. You know, it's just that in baseball, you get to actually see, you know, in 2.5-3 hours of time, the strategy play out at a little slower pace than you would any of the other sports. Well, soccer's much faster. So is football, hockey, you know, basketball. Everything has its play to it, its strategy to it, and positions where players should be and the talent and, you know, all that. Baseball just is a little bit slower enough for you to catch everything and actually learn and understand it and who does what. And once you do, the respect for the game and the concepts of the game really start, for me personally, they filter down to where, okay, well, let me try this in the shop. What do we do here? And even my guys would tell me, you love talking baseball. You leave all these baseball analogies. I said, I can't help it. I said, I believe that we have patterns here that I like to kind of associate with.
Okay, we're covering some pretty wild stuff here. And I love it. This is exactly what we always try to do here on the show. And I couldn't have expected it any better from coming from you. So here's a tough question for you. Here's a tough question. Would you give a contract to someone in the future, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. My technician down in Millsboro has always said, I'll sign a contract for you for anything. I want to be here. And he said, I'll sign whatever you want me to sign. I'm like, okay, well, let me work on that. I've approached this concept to others in our profession, and we've had discussions back and forth with it about what'll work, it won't work, this will work, that and thing. So I just think that there's a different path to employment with moving forward, especially as we become much more technical than we are today. The types of technology we'll be working on, the type of vehicles that we'll have to repair. And as we move towards more of a multimodal transportation network, I think that we'll have to have these different levels or different concepts.
I don't know what to say based on your answer, because I thought you would say, I'm not ready yet. You know, I got to work on this thing. But you've got an individual that you obviously has listened to you enough times to realize you're setting career paths and goals for this individual, sharing numbers, that they'd be willing to say, I can do this, boss. I can do this. I can reach those goals. And you probably said, hey, would you sign an agreement to that point? I love the fact that we're talking conceptually. I love the fact that you have someone who could literally be your guinea pig or your beta or for something like this to see that it works. We may just have to sit on the sidelines and watch you do this one day and see what we learn from it. People in the industry need to almost sit this down and start talking to your people. Are we talking enough to our people about concepts and stuff?
I don't think we are. I do it because, I look out for the betterment of my team members. I've always said, you don't work for me. You work with me. And any owner would take that same train of thought, right? And so does any owner who has a professional team. I mean, you don't see people wanting to not keep their guys trained up, right? They've got coaches, they've got, you know, assistants, they've got medical team, they've got the whole thing. Why? Because they want their athletes to be the best that they can. So why are we not taking that concept and bringing it to our shops? Granted, most are. We've been here. Man, we're climbing up. We're way up here now. You know, but what are we going to have to do to continue that? And as we always say, right, competition is good. So if we have a superstar, we got to learn how to hold on to him. Or maybe he's too much of a superstar and someone else could use him more than we. Where's his value? So now I have the contract. What's that other owner going to do to move him out of my space to him? I put this equity into this intern. Now he's an ace. What can the owner expect back from someone trying to hire them away, right? I mean, conceptually, let's make a trade.
I love this. Hours build, training hours. How about this one? The command of specialty tools. Mm-hmm. There are so many things to sit down and talk about and look at this agreement. Let's get the word contract out of there. It sounds too lawyerly, this agreement that we have. Okay, because an agreement, working with an agreement, everyone, could eventually get into the Greg's concept of a three-year contract with signing bonuses and all this neat stuff. But ASE, years, you know, hours of training, gross profit per hour, the productivity numbers, all of these stats that you set up for this individual to achieve, no doubt in every professional game, every position has levels they need to reach. And I guarantee you, they get money for reaching those levels, for doing the right thing. And if we're willing to meet them at those reach goals, if we're willing to continue to pay for training, get them the right tooling, the right environment, the right workspace, the right communications between front and back, the right technology in the bays, we're talking sophistication, we're talking professionalism of our industry. That's where we're all headed. And we can't keep doing it the old way.
No, we can't. And there's even ways of enhancing the revenue streams for our technicians and our team members. You have, just like you have in, well, what the NFL does, you know, with their revenue share, the personalities of the athletes not only have their own social media and revenue streams on their own, but the NFL is guaranteed so much money out of, you know, advertisement and what they got, NFTs for college football players. There's a whole other world that we could get into. The main thing is that we have to have, I believe that we need a different method of compensation and to grow our teams, to grow the bench, everything like that. So I don't know how we do it the way that we're doing it today, where I'm going to take your word for it that you can pull 100 hours and I bring you in and you can pull 20. And then where am I? as an owner. I thought you could do this. Oh, well, like you're not doing this for me. I'm not doing that for you. And before you know it, you don't have a relationship that's working. You've wasted, the owner has wasted their time and the technician has wasted theirs.
There's so much heavy here in this episode to think about, to unravel, to unpack. And if we've done anything, I think so that you're not disappointed when you're doing a new hire, based on you can dare 100 and you give me 20, there needs to be so much more in. And again, I want to go back to the word agreement. I would say that, listen, here's what you and I talked about. Here's what you said you can do. Okay, here's what I want to do for you. Here's what I'll give you to do that. Here's what you say you'll do. And there's three columns on this quote agreement. And it's not hard to reward someone. You can have a fourth column for rewards, or it's not hard to let someone go because they never actually reached their column, but they said that they would do. So in concept, let's play with this in the industry. Reach out to Greg. I mean, let's just throw this around. This could be a great little football to, no pun intended, to throw around.
Right, correct.
Or baseball insight. Yeah, because you're the baseball guy. I never knew that about you. All right, you're the baseball guy. It's a thinking man's game.
At night, when the seasons, when baseball is on, you know, I come back and I'll watch. That's what I watch. I'll watch baseball, you know, and get to learn it even more and see what the it's a thinking man's game, man. It really is. I love it. I really do enjoy the baseball game. I think it's a fascinating sport.
Well, as always, hey, thanks for coming here.
Sure.
Stretching our world and our think, because you do that. That's what we always count on you for. And Buckley's, Wilmington and Millsboro, Delaware, Greg Buckley. And we appreciate you being here, man.
Oh, hey, it's always a pleasure, Carm. You know that. I love being on here and just talking to everybody. So it's good.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.